Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about the fear of the Lord. And I tell you, this is really powerful. You know, I preach on the grace of God, the goodness of God, tell people that His wrath has been placed upon Jesus. But does that mean that I don't fear the Lord? Well, I'm not afraid of Him in the sense of His dread, because I believe that His punishment has been placed upon Jesus. I'm not afraid of being judged and punished. I know the good news, and I praise the Lord for that. But I still fear the Lord, not in the sense of dread or terror, but I honor and respect Him. And we've been talking about this. We showed that Jesus had a fear of the Lord, and it's not because He was afraid His Father was going to punish Him. There's many New Testament scriptures that talk about the church walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Puts it right together. We aren't talking about the negative connotations associated with fear. We're talking about honor, respect, reverence, standing in awe of God. We still need that. And there are many, many scriptures that talk about this. And this is what I've been dealing with. So we've talked about yesterday, I was really emphasizing that fearing the Lord is trusting the Lord. And we used a number of scriptures on that. We talked about that the fear of the Lord is to reverence God. The fear of the Lord is to love God. The fear of the Lord is to honor our parents and honor other people. Respect authority. And one of the reasons that we see such a lack of respect in our society today is because there isn't a fear of the Lord. You know, I was raised in a religious system, and I was also raised in Texas in the South. And so some of this is cultural. But you know what? I believe that this culture came from Scripture. And I believe that there was a time, especially in the South, you still see more of an impact of the fear of the Lord than when you get up into the northern or out in the western countries. And of course, that's changing a lot. That's a generalization. Don't write me and complain about this. It's changing. But I'm saying that still, like for instance, going into the South, when you go down there, you show respect unto people. Like I was raised to say yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And, you know, that's a term of respect. It has nothing to do with whether or not you're my superior or not. I've actually gone into a store before and, you know, there's somebody waiting on you and a woman asks you something and I'll say, yes, ma'am. And they're young. I mean, they may be 20 years old and they're looking at me and they're thinking, why are you calling me yes, ma'am? It's not that you're my superior or anything. It's just a form of respect. And we have lost a lot of our respect today. We treat people with contempt. You know, I've been out to eat with pastors before who treat the waiter or the waitress like some kind of a slave. And they just say things and demand things of them that, you know what, I wouldn't even treat a slave that way. And yet there's some people that just don't have respect for other people. And when you do show respect, I'm constantly, when I go into places, people are just amazed at the way that I talk to them. I give people respect, not necessarily because they've done something to earn it, but I just extend that towards people. They would have to do something for me to turn off my respect and to treat them any way differently. I offer that to people. And I believe that that's what this is talking about here in Leviticus 19:3, Leviticus 19:32. It's talking about honoring parents, honoring people who are older than us, and just honoring people in general. We need to show respect. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 14. I'm going to share with you some scriptures that show that the fear of the Lord has to do with us paying our tithes and giving. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, it says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine and of thine oil and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. It is associating fearing the Lord with obeying His commandments concerning the tithe and the offerings that God told us to give. I believe you could say this, that some of you aren't going to like this, and you're going to take this as condemnation. I'm not meaning it that way. I'm just trying to show you what the fear of the Lord is based on Scripture. But if you aren't paying tithes, if you aren't giving, you do not fear the Lord. Again, I'm not talking about dread or terror of Him punishing you. You know, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, it says, you have robbed me. And people say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you shall not have room enough to receive it. And He'll rebuke the devourer for our sake. Those passages of Scripture have been used by people to put an ungodly fear in people, or let me say the fear of the Old Testament, fear of punishment, fear of judgment. And people say, if you don't pay your tithes, God's going to take it out in doctor bills. You know, if you've listened to my teaching, I teach that I am not under the curse of Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Even if I didn't pay my tithes, Jesus became a curse for me. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And so I am not under the curse. And if a person is using Malachi 3 through 8 through 10 to motivate a person to give, well, then that is a fear of punishment, a fear of rejection, a fear of judgment. And I preach that that's over, that Jesus bore my punishment. He bore my curse. And even if I fail to tithe, fail to give offerings, God isn't angry at me. And I teach that. But does that mean that I don't tithe? Does that mean that I don't give? No, because the fear of the Lord, if I am truly reverencing God, if I am truly honoring God, if I'm truly loving God, then you know what? I give back in gratitude for what He's done for me. As it says in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And that is concluding two chapters of talking about giving. And after two chapters of saying all of these things, it's the most concentration on the subject of giving of any place that I know of in the Bible. And after all of these things said about giving, it concludes by saying, thanks be unto God who has done all of these things for us, for His unspeakable gift. And you know what? That's really what giving in the New Testament is about. It's not paying your debt so that God won't get you, but it's being so grateful. It's fearing the Lord, honoring the Lord, loving the Lord, respecting the Lord, being in awe of the Lord because of all of the great things that He's done. And so you give back because He's given so much for you. You don't give to keep Him off of your case and to keep, you know, to avoid judgment. You give out of gratitude. Man, that's powerful. So I still believe in giving. I still believe, but I don't do it now out of fear of punishment. I do it out of a love, the fear of God that is love and honor and respect for what He's done for me. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. I've used these verses earlier when I was using these verses to show that fearing the Lord is trusting the Lord. But look at this in Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 5 again, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. That's basically the same thing that was said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So I believe that you can use trusting in the Lord synonymous with fearing the Lord. And then in verse 8, it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, here it is talking about giving again, just like that other verse that I was using. And it says in verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So here again, it's talking about the fear of the Lord is in the heart of these scriptures. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it was talking about the exact same thing in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trusting in the Lord, and also in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honoring the Lord with your substance, that's talking about your tithe and your offerings, is fearing the Lord. A person who isn't giving and paying their tithes and giving to offerings to other people is a person that doesn't fear the Lord. I'm not talking about that you were under the curse of Malachi chapter 3. That's not the motivation for the New Testament believer. But if you truly honored the Lord, if you truly love the Lord, if you truly respect the Lord and reverence Him and stand in awe of the Lord, then you would follow through with what His Word tells you to do. Not out of fear of punishment, but out of love, out of respect, because you value His opinion more than your opinion. Boy, that's powerful. And there are people watching this program who, you know what the Word of God says about giving unto the Lord. Like Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. You know what the Word says, but you know what you're doing? You're violating Proverbs 3, 5 through 9. You are trusting in your money instead of trusting in the Lord. You are leaning unto your own understanding and you're saying, God, I know You told me to give, but I need this money. And my opinion is better than Your opinion. You don't understand my situation. And on I could go listing all of the reasons and the excuses, but you know the bottom line is, you don't fear the Lord. You don't honor the Lord. You don't trust the Lord. You value your opinion and your way of thinking more than what God's Word says. Period. End of discussion. That's it. You can try and justify it any way you want to, but that's what it basically comes down to. You know, the Scripture says, again, I quote, in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, where it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That's what Jesus said. He also said in Mark chapter 10 that there is no man who gives that they won't receive a hundredfold in this life. Now that's what the Word of God promises. That's our Lord Jesus that said that. If you truly trusted Him, if you truly honored Him, if you valued His opinion more than you value your opinion, you would give. And that would be it. I mean, somebody said, but you don't understand, I don't have enough. If you really believe that you give and it's given unto you, you really believe that you get a hundredfold in this life, not just in heaven, but in this life, if you believe that, if you trusted that, you would give. You know, if you were here, if I was holding a church service and if you were in my meeting, and if I had unlimited resources, and if I said, any person who gives me $100, I'll give you back $10,000. That's a hundredfold return. Now, if I had the ability to do that, and if you really believe me, I guarantee you, if you didn't have $100, you would charge it. You would punch your neighbor next to you and says, please loan me $100 and I'll pay you back $200. I'll give you 100% interest. If you really believe that I was telling you the truth and that I had the ability to do it, then I guarantee you, even if you didn't have $100, you would come up with it. You would find a way. You would hawk something. You'd take your watch off and says, look, this is worth $150. Can I still get in on the deal? If you really believe that I was telling you the truth, you would find a way to come up with that money because it would benefit you. Well, Jesus told us, give and it's given unto you. Jesus said, there's not a single person who gives to me that won't receive a hundredfold in this life. It may not happen in the next 10 minutes, but it will happen in this life, not in the one to come. And if you truly believe that, if you truly trusted and honored and respected and feared the Lord, you would be giving. So part of the fear of the Lord is obeying His Word, trusting His Word, doing what His Word says. And specifically these verses that I've been using, it's talking about giving your tithes and giving offerings. If you aren't doing that, you don't have a fear of the Lord. Again, I'm not talking about a fear of punishment or that God's going to get you, but you don't truly respect the Lord. You don't truly respect His Word. You don't truly honor what He's saying. Again, I go back to these verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice the terminology, the first fruits. That means the first fruits, not the last fruits. That doesn't mean that you pay your bills and you buy everything that you want and you take care of your appetite and you buy all of your clothes and you go and indulge in all of the movies and you take care of your games and everything that people use their money for. And then if there's something left over, God, here's what I've got. I pray that you accept this. That's not acceptable. You honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all thine increases. If you take care of yourself first and then give God what's left over, that's not a first fruit, that's leftovers. God doesn't like leftovers. Amen. You need to give Him the first fruits. You need to honor the Lord. I know that there are many of you that in your way of thinking, you're thinking, well, I don't do what you're talking about, but I still honor the Lord. That's not what the Word is saying. Again, if I made a promise to you that I would give you 100 times what you give to me, and if you came to me and you had money, but you said, but I just need to use it somewhere else, and I wished I could get in on this deal, but I just can't do it. You know, if you really honored my word and believed what I was saying, you would do it. And for you to get up and walk out and say, well, you know, I could use $10,000, but I'm not going to do this because I just haven't got it. That's inconceivable. That just doesn't work. Basically, you could couch it any way you want to, but the bottom line would be you didn't honor what I said. If you truly honored what I said, if you truly believe me, you would get in on that deal. It would be to your advantage to do it. And you can explain this way any way you want to, but if you are not giving and taking the Scriptures that talk about give and it's given unto you, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That God, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. God will give seed to the sower and multiply your seed sown. And on and on I could go with these promises. If you aren't obeying those and acting on those, you can try and explain it away, but the bottom line is you aren't honoring the Lord. You're giving Him what's left over. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. And in the previous verses, it talks about those things are what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with. I'm telling you, your attitude towards money or your use of money really shows where your fear is, where your honor and respect and trust is. If you are using it primarily for yourself and giving God only if there is something left over, then you do not fear God. You are not honoring God. You are not trusting God. You are leaning to your own understanding. I know that some of you think, well, man, that's tight, but it's right. It's just the truth. I'm telling you these things for your own benefit. You know, it's your way to prosperity. You could turn over to 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah went to the city of Zarephath where this widow woman was, and he asked her for a drink of water. She went to get him some water, and as she was going, he says, also bring me some food. And she came back and she says, all I've got is a tiny bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and I was gathering some sticks so I could make a fire, cook this, my son and I could eat it, and we would die. They were down to their last meal, and Elijah said, make for me first, because I tell you that your cruse of oil and your little bit of meal will not go empty until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And this woman believed Elijah, and she did what he said. And because of that, she and Elijah and her son lived for over 3 years on only one day's supply of food. God just kept miraculously supplying it. Now, many people, see, would read something like that, and they would be upset, and they'd say, well, that's a typical preacher for you, trying to get the last little bit of food out of somebody's mouth. I can guarantee you the Jerusalem Post, if you would have read the headlines, they would have said, prophet takes widow's last food out of her mouth, impending death because of this greed of this preacher. That's the way that the world would spin it. And there's some people that probably think, I'm talking about this because I want your money. I'm telling you, you can get my stuff free. You can write in and get these materials I'm talking about free. I'm telling you this, not to take from you, but to give to you. Just like Elijah didn't ask this woman for her last meal so that she could die. He did it. He was getting to her. He was getting her to operate in faith because that was what was going to open up the windows of heaven and pour her out a blessing that she wouldn't even have room enough to receive it. She not only was sustained for over 3 years, but her son was raised from the dead by Elijah because she obeyed and took a step of faith and honored the Lord, feared the Lord, operated in the fear of the Lord. And I'm saying the same thing to you today. I know that there's people that will misunderstand and will criticize me. You know what? I stand before God. I know what my motive is. And I know that God knows my heart. And whether you like it or not, I'm telling you the truth. That all of these scriptures are talking about the fear of the Lord, honoring God, trusting God, respecting God. And you are not doing those things if you aren't giving God the first fruits. Unless it is the very first thing you do. When you get a paycheck, when you get money, the first thing you ought to do is give off at the top, not give off at the bottom. Not put all of your needs and your things first and then give only if there's something left. If you are doing that, you aren't honoring God. You aren't trusting God. You aren't operating in the fear of God. Those are strong statements, and some of you may take offense, but I'm saying it to help you. I'm trying to get you to honor God. I'm trying to get you to trust in the Lord, not lean under your own understanding. Fear the Lord, and if you'll do that, it starts a supernatural flow of God's blessing towards you. It takes faith to take money that you need and give to the Lord. It takes faith. It's stupid to do that unless God multiplies that money back to you. So it really is a huge step of faith, and faith is what releases the power of God. Faith is a powerful force, and I promise you, if you would begin to trust the Lord, fear the Lord in this area, it would make a huge difference in your life. We're out of time again today, but I'm going to continue this teaching on our program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in. Also, our announcer is going to be giving you some information about how you can get this brand new product that I have. I have a new CD album entitled The Fear of the Lord. And also, I have it on DVD and then a live DVD that was made from our Fort Worth seminar. So listen to our announcer and call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Fear of the Lord was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled, What is the Fear of the Lord, free of charge? We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. In Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 9th through the 11th, and in Humble, Texas on Sunday, February 12th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 14th through the 16th, in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 29th through the 31st, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Andrew Womack Ministries has offices located around the world. To locate an Andrew Womack Ministries office near you, go to awmi.net and click Contact Us at the top of the page. Experience the new Charis Bible College School of Healing Thursday afternoons from 1 to 3 p.m. in the CBC Auditorium, 850 Elkton Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Log on to charisbiblecollege.org for more information.
God's basically spoken to my heart in bringing me to CBC. And me getting a hold of the message of grace and God's unconditional love has totally changed my life, my family, how I view God, how I see God, and just give me an overall better perspective on life, and it's really produced freedom.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world. Andrew would like to invite you to visit the website as he guides you through the second installment of the virtual tour. This time, come inside the future home of Charis Bible College. You can almost smell the new carpet.